Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Indianapolis, Indiana, welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, July 3rd. Tomorrow is our Independence Day, July 4th holiday. And we are going to have an emergency podcast or radio show based off of kind of the NBA free agency that just happened. We said we'd come on after LeBron decided, and the other pieces started to fall in place, and by God, they still did. So without further ado, I've got my main man here on hold with us. Jonathan, welcome back another again. We just talked last week about the craziness.
Hey, what's the good word, Brandon Reese? Man, yeah, I knew, like I said, it would be jaw-dropping, and it did not disappoint. The moves that were made by the Lakers and by LeBron and the Lakers, and then subsequently by Golden State, have definitely been jaw-dropping.
Yeah, absolutely. As we talked last week, we kind of recapped the NBA draft, and then kind of talked what we expected for the NBA landscape itself, and then also what to expect for the Pacers. And I think in a drastic seismic move, the entire landscape has changed, and maybe have changed for the way we see the NBA in future years to come. I'm going to hit on that a little bit later on, but very much a seismic move done the last couple days, actually. So,
what's that?
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. So we've got an hour and a half ish or so of a show tonight. We'll try to get through, shouldn't be that long, but we'll try to get through these free agent dealings, some of our thoughts of such. We'll dive into the Indiana Pacers themselves, and then just kind of touch a little bit on the NBA tidbits. And then really, Jonathan, you know, I don't think we'll have any other NBA news unless, my God, something seismic happens ever. But until the NFL season starts, when we'll get back on again. But without further ado, we'll start our top dog, LeBron James. It announced Sunday night, 8 o'clock. I was chillaxing with a beer, watching some Big Brother. And then all of a sudden, my God, the Woj bomb hit that he tweeted out from Clutch Sports Agency, which is LeBron's agency. LeBron James, 4 years, $154 million, going to the Los Angeles Lakers. Showtime. Birdsong, I called you. Dude. We talked on the phone privately. What's your thoughts, my man?
Yeah, for one, Andrew Wojnarowski, I hope I got his name right. He has more juice. I feel like he has more juice than, like, Adam Schefter and anybody else. Comparably on that side, Adam Schefter does football and Ed Warder does football, but he's got more juice than both those dudes compared to – like, he knows what's going to happen. Seemingly, like, he's got everybody's on speed dial or Insta-text or group chat or whatever, man. But, like, yeah. So, yeah, I had – it was definitely for sure a 50-50 shot that I thought – well, it's obviously it dwindled down from – probably, obviously, from 9-10 to going back to Cleveland after some of Dan Gilbert's comments or leak comments, or how they have a very cold relationship. But yeah, 150 million reasons to go to LA and to join a to join another story franchise where a lot of superstars have basically either ended their career there or built their career there. It's gonna be unfortunate for Cleveland and that city. I haven't seen any jersey burners or anything like that coming from that media market or anything like that. But LeBron coming over to LA I'm not gonna say it's unquantifiable. But it's up there. It's definitely up there because, like I said, not only did I talk to you, dude, I didn't go to bed that night till like 12:30 tonight. mm-hmm. talking about it, conversating, tweeting, you know what I'm saying, Facebooking, educating people. Because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, and this is something we learned from the company that both of us used to work for. I'm not about to give them no plug, you know, say it's an electronics company. Everybody knows. but, you know, they always, they're one of their main levers of the day stand on is to like be able to change the times. And I get that a lot of people fell in love in the 90s and the late 80s with Michael Jordan and the Reggie Millers of the world, how they stayed with their own teams, with that one team, and try to fight through to win a championship or whatever and whatnot. But we just don't live in that day anymore. We kind of do, and I don't want to get off on a tangent like that because we're supposed to be talking about LeBron. But these guys kind of got there. They want to do what they want to do, and the NBA allows them to. The NBA is a players league. Everybody, it was a players league then, and these guys just want to do what they want to do and how they want to play, how much they want to play for. And I don't necessarily love it, but I can't say that it's not. It makes everything interesting. So it really does. So even right. though it makes, you know, it makes kind of make, it might make the you know, him, his move going to LA makes the East very wide open. Still with Boston probably being a favorite, but it still makes the East wide open because Toronto, I don't assume, even though they the coaching change or whatnot, they still pretty much got the same team. And you know, they the veteran squad, they ain't getting ready to lay down like a dog, hopefully. But again, the East is still pretty much wide open. But like I said, you know, it does make these kind of moves make, you know, conferences, you know, teams super top heavy, to where if you're, I hate to pick on them again, the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, like, you know, they don't have a shot at winning. They got a shot at the lottery, but they don't have the shot.
Right.
They have a shot. They don't have to shout at their playoffs, much less an NBA crown. So, mm-hmm. LeBron going, I'm not going to say it's going to be odd because, you know, how can, you know what, Brandon, I always assess it like this every time when he first went back to Cleveland, like, dude, there's too much star power that flows through that city for LA, for any LA team or any big market team, New York, too, to not be in his people's ear. Maverick Carter, I think that's his agent. I do believe. Mm-hmm. To be in his ear, be like, hey man, we need to get your guy here. Like, dude, I was telling my folks the other day. I said, dude, you know, the last playoff game he had, he always consistently has Jay-Z or Beyonce, and I think Jamie Foxx is at the game, so on and so forth. All these celebrities. Right, as soon as he goes out to LA, man, we probably see all kind of people we never did who we haven't seen in a long time before. We'll see Disney stars coming to the game. We'll see Marilyn Manson come back to the game. Hell, we'll see. Like I said, if Boy George can get courtside tickets, they'll get him to the games. And you know, Jack ain't never left. So with LeBron going to LA, man, hell, even Billy Crystal might change up his T-shirt. start wearing Lakers gear, man, because he brings that kind of excitement. He really does. So
right. Okay.
It's good for the NBA. I really do. Even though it's not necessarily the basketball that I grew up on with loyalty, blah, 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 blah. You feeling that, you know what I mean? But it's business too. So you have to keep that into your ear hole that it is business. So
yep.
The NBA is fantastic.
Boy, it's something. I don't know what it's working itself to right now, but I'm scared to see in the next 5-6 years. But I do like LeBron going out to L.A. I think it's another challenge, another chapter for his legacy. I've seen people
Absolutely.
Talking that if he doesn't win a title out there, that it illegitimizes his career, which is completely false. The man has already won 3 rings, mm-hmm. so he's already won the titles. This is another challenge in his life.
Yeah, with 2 different franchises, yeah.
Right. If he wins one with – the Lakers now.
That'd be unprecedented.
You know,
that'll be. I don't think any alpha dog has ever won 3 titles with 3 different teams. I don't think any alpha player has won 3 titles. I know Shaq did it as the alpha player, even though he wasn't the lead scorer in Miami. But he's like, dude, Miami wasn't gonna win the championship without Shaq. This is back in that 2005, I do believe.
Right.
So yeah. Go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off.
We got LeBron out there, and I saw Charles Barkley say something earlier today. I was listening to a radio show, and Barkley
said
that he – oh, absolutely. You know, talking about LeBron James going to the Lakers, and, you know, he's been all against it. He should stay in Cleveland, yada yada. He, we'll get into DeMarcus Cousins a little bit, but Cousins going to the Warriors and such. And Charles Barkley, I wrote this quote down because Charles Barkley said he would rather have had zero rings than join a super team. Okay, I just want you to think about that. He would rather have zero rings than join a super team. Didn't Charles Barkley join Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon, two Hall of Famers, to try to win a ring?
To try to win a championship.
So,
I think Charles forgets that. He forgets.
Apparently, because he sounded like a dumbass when I was listening to him on the radio.
He also forgets that he forced a trade out of Philadelphia to basically send Jeff Hornacek to Philadelphia for a year. And the Phoenix Suns vaulted them into the championship game.
Right.
The very first with Phoenix. So
I just thought that was incredibly stupid, as Charles normally is. You know, I enjoy him on NBA and TNT, and it's a great show. But some of the shit that he says, I'm just like, ugh. But anyways, going back to LeBron, I think they're going to win the title this year? Absolutely not. I think they are 2 or 3 years away from reaching the NBA Finals to get it. Will they make the playoffs this year? Absolutely. Any LeBron team will always make the playoffs, no matter what.
Absolutely.
That's just the type of talent that he is.
Western Conference or no? Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I the way they're getting their talent, though, it's just like they were doing in Cleveland, going out and getting all these old veteran guys. You know, you've got Rajon Rondo coming in there to join him. You've got Lance Stevenson. You said it yourself a couple radio shows ago. LeBron needs shooters around him. John, I don't know if you've looked at that roster, but I don't see any shooters.
Here's what I'll say about what they've got going on in LA as far as what they put around him, what they have around him. So Kuzman, we do know, is a shooter. Correct.
Right.
Brandon Ingram, for all his, 6'9", 6'10" capability, is a perimeter player. Okay. I kind of like the Lance move was a head scratcher, but he made JR prior to the bad rebound and not knowing where we were at. He made JR Smith a better player, or being around him. Being around in the system where it's accountability. And
I thought he was better in Denver and in New York than he was in Cleveland, my personal opinion.
Absolutely. In New York, absolutely not. I cannot. He was basically he might have better stats. He for sure had better stats in Denver. But there's a reason why they were fine with trading him to, I think they, when did they trade him, like Charlotte back in the day, I do believe, before he ended up bouncing to New York.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But yeah, he definitely had better stats in Denver. But better basketball player. He became out of a headache, like somebody that Carmelo couldn't depend upon in New York, more so than I thought. But he would have games in Cleveland where he might go 0-for-4 in the first half, and then LeBron like have a powwow in halftime, and then it seemingly he would miss a shot or he'd have a good play. Again, saying past, I know everybody hates JR. He needs to make his own TV show like Chris Rock, right? But I think the same can be said for Lance, because Lance is Lance sort of like I remember, playing with those type of guys makes you more LeBron's going to hold everybody accountable. So I remember seeing the videos of LeBron working out and like having everybody else work out with him and say, hey, you know what I mean? So I assume Lance is going to be swept up in all that as well. So if he follows,
he's already out dunking on people. I saw a video today of him playing.
Yeah. So if as long as he's out there, following the program that they have for him, he basically kind of like he should look at the, to my Lance Stephen, he should look at this as like, I got another chance for real. And if he draws upon, like, Lance is a guy that draws off energy from fans. Dude, there ain't no better fans than Laker fans. Sorry, Pacers. That's just what it is. The Laker fans. Sorry, Pacers fans. Man, that's just the truth, man. Brandon, you go to
Lakers.
Games, for,
Lakers fans
go,
come out of the woodwork.
Right, Laker fans got travel they got a traveling bus with them seemingly. So,
but the Lakers fans all have brand new jerseys too. So there's something to say about that.
Right. But like I said, I think Lance, this is basically another chance for him to rebuild his career. He ain't gonna ever recoup that $44 million that Larry Bird tried to give him. You know what I'm saying? Back in 2014, 2013, 2014. But this is basically another chance for him to recoup his career. And rubbing elbows, what better way than like rubbing elbows with like championship greatness like LeBron James?
Right.
As far as like the other pieces they have on their squad, I did. Rajon Rondo, I know, kind of got put in a doghouse situation, right? On his exit from Boston, and I know he clashed seemingly with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler in Chicago, and Chicago basically told everybody to get out, right? But I think it was basically a money thing for why New Orleans didn't bring him back. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be honest with you, I only read a couple articles. I don't think they really offered him what the Lakers were offering. So, again, I know he's a hard talent to manage, right? Because Rajon Rondo thinks he knows just as much as the coach. So, but again, you got that personality in the room that's LeBron James, and like the team will go. And but like, here's the thing: Rajon Rondo is not a guy that's into stats, and he's into winning. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he is as he blatantly called out Isaiah Thomas this past season. He's like, dude, what are we celebrate? You out here say, dude, you want to get your number retired? You ain't no. You basically not calling him a real Celtic. For like, wanting to raise a banner, a Eastern Conference ship banner. So Rajon Rondo is about winning. The problem is that he sometimes clashes with what plays are to be, what plays the coaches and the coach staff wants to draw up, and because he thinks he's a better play caller, right? And I think maybe he might be, and that may be a future for him. You know what I'm saying? Once he retires as a coach, I know, but. Yeah, they still are down a couple of shooters because you ain't gonna be able to trust little balls, Lonzo's jump shot. But here's what I say: the Lakers were 35-47, right? That's what their record in the Western Conference. That's without LeBron James.
Right.
They'll make the playoffs. Like I said, I have no and if things get a little kooky to where the team's not playing or being as effective as it could be, they have enough leverage or in trading chips to get better talent. Because teams always are willing to deal around January, February.
Right.
So if things are getting goofy, and they haven't got Kawhi Leonard services yet, they'll make a trade to make the team better.
Yeah, I think they talk about bringing Rajon Rondo in there, and he's going to be challenging for the starting position with Lonzo Ball, but does that spell possibly an exit and a trade? I really don't. I think Lonzo and LeBron, I think they give it 1 year to see what can happen, and then they can trade him next year or at the draft for something.
Yeah. You already got Kawhi Leonard saying, I want to be a Laker. So why would I – if I'm Matt Johnson, why would I uproot all my talent to get him? When he wants to come next year, and I still have flexibility because Contavious Montel Pope and Rajon Rondo and whoever else they signed is all on one year deals. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So why would I?
It did burn him one time though with Paul George. So in the back of their mind,
really,
that's got to be a magic
really,
back of his mind.
Did it really burn him, or do we really not know who Paul George needs a therapist? And I guess he found one out there in Oklahoma and Russell Westbrook, man. Because here's somebody brought up a good idea. Somebody brought up a good point to me this week, man. Paul's a nice guy. I think it was actually Grady on the morning show. He said, Paul's a nice guy, and that was the reason why he doesn't like to take flack. So in Oklahoma, the flack taker is Westbrook. Anytime the question needs to be answered, Westbrook answers it first. Anytime there's a problem or what was going on, Westbrook always is the first one to speak up. It's Westbrook's team. And yes, it's very hard to play with Westbrook as far as like how you play on the field, how you play on the court, and getting the ball where you want it, blah blah blah, so on and so forth. But he is the one to bite the bullet, fall on the sword, so on and so forth. You feel in the cliche. He's the leader of the team, and all you got to do You got swept by the Utah Jazz. You got swept by the Sacramento Kings. Westbrook said, well, we own that. Westbrook says that, not Paul George. Paul George, I'm not saying he ever stuttered here, but Paul George, it was a head-scratcher. I mean, we played our best. We'll do better the next day. Like, dude, come on, man. You got to do better. You got to do better. So going to L.A., what's the, Brandon, think about this. Whose fault is it always if on a LeBron James team loses? Whose fault is it? It ain't LeBron James' fault. It's the coach's fault.
Teammates.
It's the
coach's
fault.
Yeah.
So, again, Paul George's not built for that. He's not built for taking criticism. He plays better when, you know, you're praising his name. So I hope Oklahoma, which we can get into that too a little bit later on, right? I hope Oklahoma knows what they got because, I man, he did not have a great playoff game. And I know he's not just on a playoff series, but he did not have a great playoff series. And I know he probably still averaged like over 20 points a game or whatever, but I think he shot like 42 or 41% or whatever. But if Joe Ingles is out playing you, you know what I mean, and y'all at least take Utah or a team like an up and coming team to 6 to 7 games, man. Like and they're not getting any better. It's the team that they had last year is basically going to be the team they had this year. The only way going to play better is if somebody actually changes up how they play. Westbrook, but that's who's going to approach Westbrook to ask him to change. You know what I mean?
It's
so,
not going to be Carmelo.
Again, so, again, like I said, great, great for Paul, but he wasn't ready for the L.A. Lights. He wasn't. He said
right,
he was,
I think,
but he wasn't.
I think he got caught up in the moment as well with Russ. I think also you talked about playing and being the scapegoat. Well, if Oklahoma City plays bad, that's going to fall directly on Westbrook. That's not going to fall on PG. That's going to be on Westbrook.
Right.
If they're looking for somebody,
right.
And that's what Paul plays best, and is that secondary role, that Robin type, Batman and Robin. He plays the Robin role very well.
Very well. Robin's still a superhero.
He is. He's there, but you know, I don't think you know PG. He did. You know, the Lakers fans were pissed at him. It'd be interesting when he goes out there and plays against
right,
them. But I think he's happy where he's at. I think him and Russ can get another piece in there next year. You know, Melo's contract I think is finally going to be up. If they don't try to deal him before the end of this season coming up, but they were pretty pissed. I think that they had the Carmelo opted in for that $27 million. So,
well, they had to know what they were trading for. Like, he's not going to act
right.
Like, dude, he was about the money. He could have. You know what, Brandon? My girlfriend, who's also a basketball aficionado, man, she said that Carmelo should have, if it was about winning and getting paid, he should have signed with Chicago back when Derrick Rose still had good ankles. You know what I mean? He wanted the money. He wanted $30 more million. I can't say that I wouldn't want $30 more million either. You know what I mean? But the Bulls offered him like $90 million to play, and he signed with the Knicks for like $125 million. So this is what I can say. This is when Joakim Noah and Derrick Rose were still, you know what I'm saying, in the prime of their careers. He could have won with that squad. It maybe potentially got to a finals, but. You know,
okay.
$28 million. I can't poo-poo it. He'll probably play out his contract. He'll definitely. Obviously, I don't see a buyout. Oklahoma ain't got the juice like that to buy out his contract. They'll play him if he's hot and he's playing against the Sacramento Kings, then he'll play extended minutes. If he's cold and they're playing against the Phoenix Suns, then they'll sit him and they'll play the bench. That's the way his season will go.
All right, John. We've got a call on hold. A gentleman named Nas who wants to join us. I'm gonna try to see if I can get all three of us on here. Let me check. Take a look.
Okay.
Nas, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right, my man. What do you want to talk about?
Well, first things first, man. I think sometimes we want to have it both ways as fans. Like on one side, we want to say players don't care enough. Somebody's all about the money. And then on the other side, we want to say they got rabbit ears and the media affects them and they're really worried about what we, the fans, say about them on social media and stuff like that. So we can't have it both ways. Like a guy like Paul George, I just think overall, I mean, this dude just came to that decision that this was the place for him. And that's kind of the downside to where people say, oh, he wants to go to this place. But if you send somebody somewhere for a year, you never know what kind of comfort they can gain or what kind of friendships they can make within that year. So I think that's a bigger thing than it was just him kind of being scared of the lights as far as going to L.A. and dealing with all the stuff he would have had to deal with. But OKC, I really think Billy Donovan is their biggest problem. I don't think he's good strategy-wise. I think defensive concepts, he's really good. You know, that's where he made his bread and butter even back in college. But NBA-wise, man, if you bring in Carmelo Anthony and you play him as a stretch four, it's like, okay, dude, what are you doing? He's not a good standstill shooter. He's not a good trail shooter. He's damn sure not going to defend power forwards very well. So at what point are you just putting this square peg in a round hole and expecting things to work out? It's like, you got Melo, play him at the three, let him catch the ball at the elbow and do his jab step nonsense, and he's going to give you some points because that's what he's good at. Other than that, right. I mean, it's a waste of having Carmelo. Now, if they buy him out, we know he's going to go to L.A. So I don't think they want to, you know, strengthen the competition like that. So I'm with you guys on that. I doubt that really happens. As far as the Lakers, LeBron gave them everything they needed in signing for 4 years. So now they have time to build the team. They don't have to try to convince somebody that LeBron may bolt on them, which was a big problem in Cleveland, doing those short deals. And, you know, there are limitations. Yeah, there's always so much they can do, and they want to keep some of the young talent. But if you get the chance to get Kawhi, you get him now, and, you know, young talent be damned. It is what it is. Because if you get LeBron and Kawhi on the wings, you can even give Golden State some trouble this year. Like, if you get those two out there, I see nothing less than a Western Conference Finals. Like, that is a problem. And when you're dealing with somebody like LeBron, any long series, you never know when he's going to have one of those games which can swing things the other way. So Kawhi, to me, is the prize. But the sleeper right now is the turmoil in Minnesota, where people are saying, yeah, Jimmy Butler's unhappy. If you could get Jimmy, crazy Jimmy, next to LeBron, the guy who works harder than even LeBron, yeah, that would be a problem too, man. You get him out there with crazy Rondo and all those guys yelling at the young boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could see something. Because I'm trying to find a scenario to where this Golden State juggernaut has to actually face some adversity and really be challenged. The DeMarcus move, man, I think the DeMarcus move was overkill. But I will say, though, man, when you start playing until June, things start happening. People start to break down. And we saw,
right,
Scottie Pippen had dead nerves in his foot by the time he left Chicago. Mike was a little worn out. Like, these long runs do something to your body. So I wouldn't be surprised if a major starter for Golden State next year has some serious, serious injury. I'm talking bigger than Steph last year. But,
I agree with you on that.
Season,
yeah, this is, you know, we were talking earlier today. I think the NBA offseason is almost better than the damn regular season. I told I told Jonathan I look forward to the offseason just because it gets so much excitement and pub. And, you know, you mentioned, I'm going to go back real quick. You talk about Carmelo, you know, and I do think Billy Donovan is the problem, and he will be the scapegoat next season if Oklahoma City doesn't make it to the Western Conference Finals, which, right now they're Jonathan, they barely got into, and not, they got barely into the playoffs. Was it two games? They were the sixth seed or seventh seed.
I think they still make the playoffs, but
I think they do. But the problem is, it's going to be that coach, and Billy Donovan will probably be gone after next season. He'll be the scapegoat. You won't blame Westbrook. You won't blame Paul. You know, you got to start looking. You know, Steven Adams, is that a piece you possibly move to try to bring somebody else in for Oklahoma City? Don't tell me Andre Robertson is a starter, should be a starter for that team, because I still don't think he should be. But we'll see. You know, I'm questioning still the moves that Houston's made. They, with them losing to Ariza, that was a huge piece for them. And you just tied yourself to a Chris Paul who's going to be, what, 37 years old by the time this contract's over with?
Yeah.
Right. And they haven't. There's no signs of resigning Capella.
Yeah.
They haven't come to an agreement.
And I do like your talk on the Jimmy Butler side, that saga. With you know, what's Minnesota doing to improve themselves? Nothing. If he goes out to L.A., I heard a scenario today that next year Chicago could get two max contracts. You could bring Jimmy Butler back to Chicago and also team him up with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, you'd also have to fire Gar, Pax, everybody in there. Ain't
no
way
to
trust in them ever again. But see, your other point, well, okay, see, I think something else we miss about the playoffs is it is really, really matchup dependent. We're so used to talking about that in football and boxing that we miss it in basketball. So a couple of years ago, Portland, you know, advances to the second round because of the matchup, and we think Portland is further along in the process than they are. And I think we're seeing the same thing with New Orleans now because they got a cake matchup against Portland who, you know, just perfect for them because Anthony could just destroy them. And we saw that also with Utah and OKC. Like, everybody, if anybody OKC could draw, I mean, Utah was the worst team for them because they require you to play with patience, discipline, and, you know, really value possession. And that was just a horrible matchup for OKC. So you end up having looking like you had a worse season than what you did. And, you know, a lot of it just is who you had to play. And you know, we're going to see that happen this year, too, to where somebody – well, Toronto, prime example, somebody thinks they're further along in the process than what they are just based on who they got to play.
Right. I think Toronto stays now. I don't think they make any moves. I think after they seen what they said, they got LeBron out, they're like, well, hell, we've already got a pretty good squad. Let's –
Right, they should feel good. They should feel real good.
They should. So
yeah,
I know
not to mention they can't move those contracts. They can't move those contracts either because ain't nobody taking old Kyle Lowry. And DeRozan's three-point, you know, lack of three-point shooting ability really devalues him. And New Orleans, man, go look at Solomon Hill's contract, man. He's got 12 million a year till 2020.
Right. Whoa. It's egregious. Very
man,
egregious.
How do you get rid of that?
I don't know. You have to suck it up.
Way to get rid of. You have to find somebody with some dead cap space and an expiring contract that's willing to take on whatever. I think he may have like 2 or 3 years left. I think he might
Atlanta
be three.
Hawks.
Yeah. The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks has like $22 million in debt. I'm not a capologist by any realm of imagination. That shit, pardon me, French. That shit actually blows my mind. But like Atlanta Hawks have like $22 million in like dead cap space. And I think Brooklyn's not trying to take on any contract unless they're expiring because they're going to make a play for sure. Guaranteed. I know we're talking about this year for next year. They're for sure going to make a play for it, either Clay or Durant next year, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One move I want you both to watch, possibly it could happen sometime this year. I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Butler does end up getting traded to a Denver in a three-way deal. And then possibly Gary Harris. Magic loves Gary Harris. With him being a Michigan State boy, don't be surprised if Gary Harrison's out there in La La Land.
Yeah, and they need shooting, so yeah, that would be interesting. And
I think
you'd
get a three-way deal with him.
Yeah, Denver has so many pieces that are just the same. Like, nobody's better than the other, so it's like you got Jokic and, you know, the young point guard Murray and then everything else. You're kind of like, okay, we'll just see how this fits. But I like Denver's roster. And then they made the gamble in the draft. You know, with Porter.
Right.
So if he works out, you know, you hit a lotto ticket. So, yeah, I like where Denver's going. They had to trade Chandler because they were capped out and paying the luxury crazy. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Absolutely. So perfect. So, Nas, thank you for calling, man. I appreciate that. You call anytime, all right?
We'll do, man. Y'all be safe.
All right,
you too, bro.
All right, good stuff there. Good call in. First one, Nas.
Absolutely, absolutely. I always wanted to tell you, I mean, I know he's gone, man, but he's like, man, he took it. Paul George took a $60 million pay cut by forcing the Pacers to trade, man. I like all my friends, but $60 million, man, we can still come see one another. I would have opted in with the Pacers and then forced him to trade me if that was the case, man. No, I don't get that, but no. On to the next topic.
Okay. Durant signed up for 2 years. Real quick, he's going to come back to the Warriors. It's another one of those one plus ones. Don't be surprised if he bolts after next season. They win one more title. He bolts for another challenge.
You're going to force the Golden State Warriors to make a decision because the salary cap is only going to get so big, right? And the year after that, they have to either sign Durant or Clay. They got to, you know, sign the second leader of the team, which is Draymond Green. And, like, from a basketballologist perspective, right, there's no way – talent-wise, there's no way you would let Kevin Durant walk out your building. And I like Clay Thompson. But if you want to if you want to, the original Golden State Warriors, if it's loyalty in business, right, if it's loyalty in business and sports, then you go with who brought you to the dance in the first place and you let Durant walk.
Okay.
I know it's crazy, but you let Durant walk.
Right. The big move yesterday that we heard, DeMarcus Cousins last night, 1 year, $5.3 million, just above the mid-level exception, going with the Warriors, so the rich get richer. Yeah, John, he's not going to be ready possibly until January or February from that Achilles
right.
injury. But really, you only really need him for the playoffs. That's it.
You know, Larry Bird got eyebrows raised when he brought Bynum in. You know what I mean? Because Bynum had – well, Bynum's knees were horrible. But Bynum,
right.
you know, Bynum if healthy is an effective post player during that time. It's basically somewhat of the equivalent. DeMarcus can sit for 4 months and practice with the team and get better. And then also, same thing I kind of said about Lance, be around that, a championship culture, you know what I mean, and soak it up all in, hopefully mature for his own personal growth. Now, as young as he is, it is somewhat of a gamble. Again,
right.
$5 million, he should be set for life. But I know when they play guys like DeAndre Jordan, $24 million per year, and he's better than DeAndre Jordan. I know he could have got more on the open market than just $5 million a year. So he's basically, I mean, everybody can say ring chases. I kind of beat that drum too. But he's kind of gambled on himself to that. He can soak up, you know what I'm saying, the maturity and like how to be a champion, how to walk and talk like a champion, and then basically be ready to play come March. Because Golden State plans to play on in May and June. And by then, man, if you're talking about we got a 100% DeMarcus Cousins, you know what I'm saying, in May and June, then, yeah, it is over. And technically, it's already over anyway. I mean, I had a lot of friends go on social media between Facebook and Twitter saying, hey, man, it's really over now. I'm like, nah, it was over the minute Kevin Durant re-signed up. This is just silly with DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
Any team DeMarcus Cousins would have signed, again, any team DeMarcus Cousins would have signed with was not going to have him available October 31st, November 1st, whenever the season starts this year, usually starts in October. They wasn't going to have him ready to be played 100% anyway. This is just, you know, DeMarcus taking advantage of the situation. And,
absolutely.
And
I don't fault him.
I don't like it, but I can't fault him. So if he goes, so like they're favored to win anyway.
Right.
Golden State's favored to win. Again, he can heal up, use their training staff, learn their culture, and then get paid next summer. Because now, not only am I the double double machine, DeMarcus Cousins, I also have a championship ring on my resume.
Yep, and I don't think it was about the money because he's looking for a payday. I think he knew in his own mind he was going to get a better payday after coming back from a season where he's healthy compared to coming
right.
off a injury. The Pelicans
right.
offered him a 2-year, $60 million contract even after his injury, and he turned it down. So,
wow.
To me, and that was reported just 20 minutes ago, I just read on Bleach Report that he turned down a
right.
2-year, $60 million extension after his injury. And then the Lakers could have offered him Boogie the same price as the Warriors deal, but the Lakers passed on it.
Right.
That was reported by Mark Stein. So,
right, yeah. I
question what the Lakers were thinking there.
You know, the Lakers really wanted DeMarcus Cousins. If I was in that Laker war room, I really would have wanted Randle. Like, I would have let Randle leave. But once you made him a plan B, him and his agent probably got pissed, and they was like, "Say, well, we're out of here." You know what I mean? So,
right. Ooh, John, we got a Woj bomb. We've got a Woj bomb already this evening, 7:39 p.m.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news sounder. We're going to go ahead and back up the Brinks truck a little bit. We're going to we're cashing in. Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns have progressed to finalizing a 5-year, $158 million extension. Max deal, Devin Booker.
Oh, wow. Well, they've overpaid for Devin Booker.
Absolutely. I'm surprised they offered him that. I thought Booker was – I read a report yesterday that Booker was pissed in Phoenix and wanted out. And now apparently Adrian Wojnarowski just said 5 years, $158 million. Max deal.
Yeah, that's wowing. That I didn't even know that Phoenix Suns still had fans enough to, like, you know, put in the stands to garner that $158 million for Devin Booker. Were they scared he was going to go somewhere else?
Oof. Not the last two. Not probably last 2 years, and then he'll, the final 3 years he'll be somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to shade Devin Booker. He's a UK guy. I don't want to shade him too much, man. But he has shown. I didn't necessarily think he was. I didn't necessarily think he was on that level of play. And he actually, I think he scored like 58 points this past season. It's basically the quietest 58 points. The quietest 58 points you ever heard. Because like again, the Phoenix Suns. It's the reason why they had to pick DeAndre Ayton because they kind of suck as an organization this year, last year, and the year before that.
Right.
But good. Congrats. I hope. And I again, it's only one guy they got. They got Trevor Ariza, who's well traveled. They got some vets on the team now. There's going to be some. I listened to Dan Marley on an interview. There's going to be some good things, positive happen for Phoenix. This kind of shows them. This kind of shows the NBA. I can all jokes aside. This kind of shows the rest of the NBA that there is some loyalty still left in Phoenix. And with if Ayton is the goods, as everybody believes he's going to be the goods, and with the other additional pitchers they got, the kid from Villanova, this should be an interesting Phoenix. I can't say Phoenix can make the playoffs. Not
no
this
way.
Year.
I don't think they're ever going to make it.
But they, they shouldn't be the top half. They should not be in the top half of the lottery next year. They should not.
Okay, interesting. Let's switch conferences. Let's head to the Eastern Conference now, real quick. We've got
tumbleweeds.
Boy, I looked at a thing today. The top 15 players in the Eastern Conference, and besides Giannis. You've got Giannis, you got Kyrie, I think I got the list here. Give me 1 second. So you got Giannis, Kyrie, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons is number 4, which I was shocked at. And this is report. This is according to Jalen Rose. And then Depot is number 5, DeMar DeRozan, John Wall, Kristaps Porzingis, Blake Griffin, Bradley Beal, Kemba Walker. And then number 12 was Jason Tatum. So, you look at that Eastern Conference now with LeBron gone, and I think it's a 3-team race. I think you've got Boston, Philly, and then I'm going to do a toss-up for the 3 seed between Indiana and Toronto. I still think Toronto's got their talent and their players to do it. Indiana's got to show me a little bit more this season that they can have a good second unit. That's one thing that's troubled this Pacers team is that second unit. They go stretches without scoring and stuff. But I feel like they've addressed that this offseason. So, what's your thoughts on that Eastern Conference quickly?
So basically, if you told me before that we would basically trade Lance Stephenson for Dougie McBuckets and Tyreke Evans – I would be like, I'm okay with that because that's okay.
I love it.
That's definitely a pretty good trade. You know, before everybody pooed Dougie McBuckets' move here, for one, it's not a whole lot of money that they spent. Two, if he's a mirror of a player like Bojan is, then guess what? They're going to run the same exact plays for Bojan. So there's a level of consistency there. You know what I mean? Dougie McBuckets. I believe he suffered a knee injury, like his second year in the league. And I think it's kind of hampered him, his development a little bit. Because his first 2 years of summer league, he killed. His first two years of summer league, he averaged like 18 points a contest with Chicago. Yeah, I know it's summer league, but last year this time when we were talking about Kuzman, you know what I mean? Again, the same thing could be said about Doug McDermott. During his first 2 seasons. He is a little bit limited athletically, but all we need him to do is to hit open shots, and I think that's basically kind of what what he's done his whole career. And I get it;
right.
People are automatically considering him a journeyman, but the ultimate journeyman is somebody who McDermott was compared to when he first came into the league is Kyle Korver. And if he can be anything similar to Kyle Korver, because Kyle Korver's played for like 5 different teams. He played with Atlanta, played with Utah, Chicago, Philadelphia, so on and so forth. But, like, again, McDermott didn't cost us a whole lot on the salary end, and he's here for 3 years. Like I said, he's a mirror image. We're not asking him to be to come in and score 20. We're asking him to come here and score 7, realistically. And if he scores 10, that's a positive to us. It really is.
Right.
And then with Tyreek,
he's coming in to shoot. That's what we brought him in for. He's not going to play defense.
Correct.
We just need him to shoot.
Dude, if I'm not trying to plug nobody else's show, but if you listen to Dockage, man, and you can get between the BS, Dockage will tell you, man, like all the NBA does is ball screen, ball screen, ball screen, so that defenders are shifted anyway. So, again, he wasn't going to be able to defend the first defender or the second defender. You know what I mean? He's going to get roasted. His job is on the other end to give it back just as much as fourth live over here. Sorry about that. His job with the Pacers is basically to give as much as he, maybe not as much, but to give as in his limited time as he's getting. So I'm more confident as a role player coming off the bench with Doug McDermott, with the signing. Tyreek Evans, the Pacers have been trying to get Tyreek Evans seemingly for like the last 5 years.
Right, as I agree.
Tyreek Evans, maybe somebody needs to buy him a hibernation chamber where he can turn back time. Man, Tyreek Evans was actually rookie of the year, beating out Steph Curry in 2010, I do believe.
Yeah.
Tyreek Evans is a combo guard so think about it. If Lance was the instant offense, not necessarily instant offense, but like instant fast break guy, off the bench. We're bringing a starter on a bad team who averaged 19 points a game, right, in Memphis. He's definitely a reserve. He's definitely a one-year reserve with us. Gives him some flexibility next year, right, on the salary end, right? But he's definitely – but as far as this coming year, he's definitely now our playmaker. I mean, and it'll be our secondary playmaker on the floor, right? That's what it is. When Oladipo went down, and they'll be there, and then to educate fans, right? That's what I'm here to do, educate. Not necessarily you, but I'm here to educate anybody listening.
Right, our listeners.
Fans, when Oladipo went down for the 8 games, Lance was injected into the starting lineup, and the team never won a game with Lance starting. You know what I mean? With the hopes is what Pritchard probably would bring in. A guy like Tyreek Evans is like, dude, we'll get better bang for our buck and more consistency. If something like that, if we have Oladipo rest or even like one of the point guards rest, now we have a consistent guy who we can depend on to score, who doesn't need fans to rally himself up to get, 10, 15 points. So I like both the moves. Again, they're not body slam moves, that like Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant. They are consistent moves to make the Pacers, like you said, 3 or 4 in the East easily.
Absolutely. My opinion of the Pacers, with Tyreek, it's a very high risk, high reward signing. That's why it's 1 year, because he's coming off an injury. But he's a proven scorer, and John, he could easily come in here and be the sixth man of the year, sixth man of the year candidate. He has that type of defense. He can play lockdown defense that you didn't really have with a Lance Stephenson or so. He's that guy that can create his own shot. He can sit there and shoot the three ball. He's shooting at 39%.
Right.
I love it. I like the 1 year rental. Go give it a shot. And if he likes Indianapolis after next season, you re-sign him. If he does well, if he doesn't, you know what? Hey, we tried Pacers fans. We brought him in for 3 years. People were bitching about wanting to bring him in. We're going to see what we got. Pritchard is notorious for bringing in people with a high risk, high reward. It didn't work out for Bynum. Maybe it'll work out here for Tyreek.
Right. So I applaud the move. And I don't think, he's not asked to be a starter. So, some of that wear and tear, he'll save on the back end. So.
Right.
Pacers solid unit.
Pacers have about $5.5 million left in their cap for the year. They can sign that mid-level exception for 4.6, I think is what it is, which don't be surprised, Jonathan. I put it on Twitter earlier today if they bring back Al Jefferson at a cheaper price to fill in at least another big role in veteranism on that bench.
You know, I feel like Al was good for – he had some – you know, it's 82-game season, but I think he had, like, 5 good games. And
yep.
even though he's a dinosaur, you know, as far as, like, you know, getting up and down the floor, but you still need – even Golden State has a dinosaur in David West, you know what I mean? So you still need those post-present type players. I know it was teased, right? It was teased that we were going to get Aaron Gordon, but – again, Eric Gordon, if they would have ordered Orlando offering like $120 million, you know what I mean? There's no way he was going to get that here. We had to offer him half a Geist for him to get for him to match that contract that he got from Orlando, man. So good luck. I mean, the Pacers tried, they swung and they missed. So
right.
you know, but we do have flexibility next summer. We won't. We can all. If any fan thinks they can get Kevin Durant. If I just told you we had to offer half a Geist to get Aaron Gordon, dude, we had to ask a half a Geist, Lafayette Square, and Brownsburg to get Kevin Durant.
Maybe even Greenwood.
Yeah, Greenwood too, right. Yeah, right. You can take Kevin Durant out of your mind. But there will be, you know, if Jimmy Butler – and I don't assume, as Nas kind of alluded to, there is some infighting going on within that organization in Minnesota. So I don't see Jimmy Butler – for being there much longer, but you know Jimmy Butler, he's known that he can play in any market, whether it be you know big market or small market, you know what I mean, right? Who's to say the Pacers might not be having an eye out on him as well? So,
right
again,
your boys, the Boston Celtics, Danny Ainge said today on radio show that he's content with the players they have. They have a very good roster. don't look at Boston to be making any moves. That they're set. You got to think their number one priority this offseason now is to re-sign Marcus Smart.
Let me tell you something, man. Danny Ainge has got a good poker face, or you want to call him a good liar. If he could get a deal that would swing, you know what I'm saying, in his favor, he would make it. Now, San Antonio, I would assume, because there's been talks. I know everybody. They talk. There's no way that they can talk. San Antonio, I know they ask, you know what I mean? But
right.
there's no way, again, most trades, I'm not going to trade. Like, man, dude, I had to educate somebody this week. Like, how Minnesota let – when I tell you these names, they gave Kevin Garnett away in 2007 to Boston. They gave him away. They traded our favorite Al Jefferson and Gerald Green for Kevin Garnett. Okay? Now, if you could redo that deal again, Kevin Garnett would still be in Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? So there's no way.
Oh, yeah.
And during that time, Kevin Garnett, he might not have been as during that peak time, he might not have been as in favor of a player as, like, Kobe and Tim Duncan. I think they were 1 and 2. Kevin Garnett's number 3. Well, guess what? Kawhi Leonard's number 3 right now, or 3B, right now in the league. So if I trade him to Boston, Spurs not stupid. Dude, you're going to have to give me more than just Marcus Smart. And your draft picks. Nothing against Marcus Smart. I'm just saying, you gotta have to give me the kid. You gotta give me, you know, White Mamba. You gotta give me. You gotta give me something. I'm giving you the third best player in the league. So that's the reason why the trade talks with Boston have stalled. That's my opinion. So of course, Danny
right.
is gonna say I'm happy with my team right now. Of course, he's gonna say I'll tell you all things. He should be. You went to the Eastern Conference Finals and you pushed it to 7 without technically your 2 best players. Interject the 2 best players, bringing on, I would assume Gordon Hayward still would probably come off a little bit slow. Kyrie as well. Interject the 2 best players by the time winning time comes, you know, January, February, or December, January, February, March. If they ain't the number 1 team, then that's shame on them. But I really think they will be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you swing a deal to where he didn't have to gut his core, he would make it.
Oh yeah, I agree.
But
he's done it before. Spurs want way too much.
Right, Spurs. Well, do they really like?
They do. They wanted everything from the Lakers.
Well, that's because, hey man, I like Brandon Ingram and I like Kuzman. I even like Lonzo Ball. You know, and I think too is Kuzman. I think all those guys were all rookies, but they didn't jump from all rookie to all stars. You see what I'm saying? Shaq was an all rookie to jump to an all star. I'm trading you the MVP of the finals for Kyle Kuzma. For who? That's what it would be if they actually made that trade. Like 4 years, 5 years from now, we'd be like, man, remember when Kawhi Leonard got traded to the Lakers? They traded for who? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's
right.
no way. There's no way. There's no way. And the Lakers, unfortunately, don't have the flexibility. And this is another reason why Danny Ainge ain't going to make that trade. Like, he's got picks set up for 2020, 2021. You know what I mean? He got all the cards. So the Lakers have no cards. The Lakers don't have a good enough card. So because even if let's say Popovich, crazy as it would sound, says, all right, man, I'll take your offer. And he trades Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers. And, you know, the deal goes, he takes back whatever. Again, they don't have enough first round picks. They're gonna be winning. So every time I pick with the Lakers pick, I'm picking at 23-24. I'm not picking the best player in this draft.
Right.
Who wish the Spurs are known to pick the gem? I think Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. Manu Ginobili was a second round draft pick, and I think Tony Parker was like a very late first rounder. They are known to pick like the gems of the bottom part of the draft, but like, man, we don't live in that world no more. So again, if I'm the Lakers, just wait till Kawhi Leonard. I mean, everybody's going to genuflect right now next year. I know. I'm still going to watch, even though I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win. But everybody's going to bow down to the Golden State Warriors this year. Just wait till you get them next year, and then maybe you don't have to tear half your team up. Maybe you can keep LeBron, Kawhi, and Kuzman, and maybe Ingram on the team. And then you got ample enough. Now you really do have ample enough firepower to actually challenge the Golden State Warriors or whoever else might be the number one team in the league.
Yeah, it was reported that the Spurs wanted what they wanted from the Lakers. I just found it was Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, two first round picks, and then two pick swaps for Kyrie. In our terms of Indiana, that's Greenwood, Geis, Carmel, Fishers, Brownsburg, and the whole 60-mile radius around Indianapolis for a player.
Maybe IU and Purdue tickets, right? Front row.
Yeah, and maybe interstate tolls. Who knows? But last two things. Tonight, Dwight Howard is reported he did a sign with the Washington Wizards. So he's joining them, which I thought that could have been he'll last, what, 1 year there and then be gone somewhere else or retirement. I think that spells it well. And they needed to make that pick because, you know, you lost Gortat in a trade. We mentioned last show, Jan Mahimi was your starting center. So at least with Howard in there, you got him and Wall and Beal. That should be a little exciting for – I don't think it puts Washington – you know, above a 5 seed in the East, but
nowhere near it, right. If Dwight
Howard
complained about his touches in L.A., he's really great. He's going to start complaining right now. Washington goes as John Wall's attitude goes. So if John Wall is having a great attitude coming into the season, they're a playoff team, but they're a second round letdown. So
right.
No, I'm not. I mean, it's great for Washington. If I'm a Washington Bullets, oh my goodness, I said Bullets. If I'm a Washington Wizards fan, then I'm kind of ecstatic about it. We can talk about excitement too. That's kind of where I see it. Hey man, the Lakers got this guy. Hey man, we got Dwight Howard and Jeff Green. So there's a little bit of excitement, but not enough to say, hey man, we got enough to beat the top three teams.
They'll be a 6th seed in the East and probably play the Pacers in the first round.
Right. Absolutely.
Quick two things. Trae Young, first summer league game. His second one just started a little bit ago. But his first one, 4 for 20 overall, 1 for 11 from three-point range. Son, you are not playing college basketball anymore.
Well, in his defense, and then I'll chop him up. Man, Allen Iverson has some very – he didn't play summer league, but Allen Iverson has some very poor shooting in his first year with the 76ers, where the coaching staff just basically said, hey, man, go for it. I'm not putting Allen – I'm not putting Trae Young and Allen Iverson.
I was going to say.
But those shots, the shots he's doing, the shots in the play he's doing right now, especially a learning experience for him, because he won't be out Schroeder for the starting point guard unless they move Schroeder. He won't be out Dennis Schroeder at all.
Right. Okay.
If the coach
I brought this up earlier. The NBA, with the way the landscape changes and the way that the seismic moves are being made, John, my opinion is I think we're less than three to four years away from the commissioner deciding to change up the playoff format to where instead of 8 teams from each side now, it's going to be the top 16 seeds or the top 16 best records, and that's how you're going to get your playoffs. I think this move here has kind of signified it. It's kind of got the wheels turning in our Commissioner Adam Silver's mind.
Yeah, that's an evil, evil, evil proposition. Because I don't think the NBA is going to do a hard cap like the NFL does. I really don't. I don't like that concept. I'm not saying I won't watch. I mean, but because like the money, and I know we're talking about dudes who make. Marginal dudes who make, like Solomon Hill, who make $14 million a year. I'm like, the thing about the money to like it spends that it would cost for the Pacers to play Portland if that was the series. Like, dude, they got to fly all the way out to Portland. Like, dude, the playoffs would go into July, damn near, you would think. You know what I mean?
Right.
The guys have to rest. But this guy, even though he worked underneath David Stern, man, he seemingly took the David Stern playbook and threw it out the window. Adam Silver, really. So, like, from wanting to be a part of sports gambling and for, hell, he even said about a year ago about putting in the four-point play, which I was like, dude, if they put, not for real, Brandon, I'll be honest with you, if they put in a four-point play, a four-pointer, I won't watch. I won't. Cause
I don't think I would either.
It's like MTV Rock and Jock basketball. But whatever, all his moves, though, even though they are kind of anti-David Stern, they kind of like worked out for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I kind of see where you're going. I will not necessarily you, but I can kind of see where you, but your statement. Like, yeah, it could go to that because, again, the NBA ain't doing a hard salary cap. They're not.
Right, and I think that would hurt a lot of your younger teams.
Won't go for it.
Yeah, we'll see. Should be interesting. Before we wrap up, John, this is probably going to be our last basketball talk, at least until it gets closer to the season, unless something drastic happens. So it'll have to be we'll have to shift gears here in about a month or so, and it's going to be the Indianapolis Colts and my God, the NFL, how that's going to play out for this year.
Yeah, training camp starts in 3 weeks, and Mo Wagner's contract cannot be traded for like another 30 days.
I just saw him getting dunked on by Marvin Bagley.
Yeah. Wagner's contract can't be traded just yet. Even though I think he's still going to be a pretty good player in the league, but he can't be traded just yet.
Do we sign LiAngelo now?
No. No, but dude, I ain't got time for jokes, man. That's funnier than Kevin Hart. No way Lianzo Ball is playing in the NBA or the Summer League or
okay.
He better go run and see if Offer is taking back.
Yeah. Since you are our music and our movies guru as well, you know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, John, you know, what is your number one July 4th movie to watch?
Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, it's funny that you asked me that. Of course, it's Independence Day. But, like, during these times, whether it be Memorial Day or 4th of July, man, it's always good to break out, like, Back to the Future, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah.
But Independence Day. But I love that. Back to the Future, for some odd reason, man, I do like the Yacht Rock soundtrack that is Huey Lewis in the News or ZZ Top in both of those groups. Basically kind of all the soundscape for Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. But Independence Day, for sure, 4th of July.
Yeah, the original. The second one was terrible, I thought.
I haven't seen the second one.
I heard today that Back to the Future, it came out today, 33 years ago or so. I think 85 was it? Or
okay.
whatever.
Okay, yes, that's,
that it,
no, it's 85.
Whatever it
yes,
came
sir.
Out.
That's the whole premise. That's the whole premise of the movie.
Okay, so it came out then or whatnot, but it was Michael J. Fox. His character was closer to 1985, back when I don't know the 1950s something, than we are now currently ourselves to this to that movie. It's probably hard to explain. When I heard it on TV today, I said, "Damn, that's kind of interesting." But you know, another great movie that came out at this time, but they called it a Christmas movie, was Die Hard.
Was Die Hard
came out the week of July 4th back in the day.
And the original Die Hard is a classic. All right. I know you've seen it, but if you ain't seen it, listening, shame on you, man. That is a classic. I would stop watching after three though. After the third one, things become. They should have called it something else. Like not Die Hard. Cause like for Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2, Yippee-ki-yay, you know, so on and so forth. Love it. Not LUV. Love it. LOV. Love it.
Ooh, I like that. John, once again, thank you for joining me as well. You can follow him on Twitter @3 Foolish Men on Twitter. Banter, get some music, music life in you in movies and all sports there. Obviously, I'm on Twitter as well @BrandonReef. You'll see me and John going back with a lot of people. Shout out to Nas, who was our surprise call today. I really enjoyed listening to his knowledge and his thoughts. Like we said, yep. if you want to talk sports, all give us a call. We'll get you on the air, and we'll definitely go back and forth. But, John, I want to thank you again. I want you to have a good 4th of July. Don't blow your hands off or anything. Don't pull a JPP.
Oh, right on, Brandon. I appreciate it, man. This is like actually, you know, doing these calls with you and talking hoops and you know, I mean, it's actually the high part of my week, man. So I do appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll get you on again soon, and take care. Have fun. We'll see you then.
Absolutely. Take care, man. Peace.
See you, buddy. All right. That was Jonathan Birdsong, our NBA guru, joining us once again for the July 3rd podcast right before Independence Day. We're going to do a couple quick ads real quick, and we'll be back to wrap up the show. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. Hey guys, coming downtown for a night on the town, that big sporting event or that concert, be sure to stay at the Omni Severn Hotel, located at 40 West Jackson Place for your hotel accommodation needs. Look us up at www.omnihotels.com or 1-800-THE-OMNI for your accommodations. While you're there, be sure to check out the 1913 restaurant, The Wine Thief, and the Severn Bar for your entertainment option. All right. I want to thank you guys for joining us again. Whenever you guys do listen to this, I hope you guys have a happy July 4th holiday. You're safe out there with your fireworks. You don't drink and drive. You call that Uber. You call that Lyft. You call your friend to give you that ride where you need to go. NBA free agency talk. We had a great time today with Jonathan and then our special guest by Nas. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. We'll get you on again at another time. Not sure when we're going to have the next show exactly. NBA should be quiet down here, and then we have the NFL starting up. So we will be getting sending out some reminders as we get closer to time for those. Be sure to check out our Facebook page, Crossroads Sports. We'll do some Facebook Lives on there. We did one the other night when LeBron news broke that he was going to the Lakers. Be sure to look at us on Twitter at Crossroads Sports. It's CROSS Sports. So Rhodes is not spelled out all the way. Twitter went, let us do that. So we had to do it a little limited. Follow us on there. Look at on Twitter at me. I'm at Brandon Reef on Twitter. We'll go back and forth. We've got baseball. We've got the All-Star game coming up. Then we have our NFL football. So it should be a great time. A little bit of a quiet period currently now, so we'll let you guys know when we're going to be back on here. But thank you again, Jonathan, for joining us. And until we are back again, you guys have a great time. Have a great holiday, and we'll see you guys here sometime soon. Take care.
Crossroads Sports.